All right, y'all, welcome to the Scott Horton Show. I'm the director of the Libertarian Institute, editorial director of antiwar.com, author of the book Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan, and the brand new Enough Already, Time to End the War on Terrorism. And I've recorded more than 5,500 interviews since 2003, almost all on foreign policy, and all available for you at scotthorton.org. You can sign up for the podcast feed there, and the full interview archive is also available at youtube.com/Scott Horton Show. All right, you guys, introducing again Nasser Arabi. He is a reporter out of Sana'a, Yemen. He runs Yemen Alon. That's YemenNow.com. Welcome back to the show, Nasser. How are you doing, sir?
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on.
Very happy to have you here. So the big news in the papers here, and I admit that I'm a little bit behind on all the details, but they say that the ceasefire agreement has fallen apart. And so I guess the big question is whether you think that that portends a return to the fighting, or is this maybe just a hiccup? And probably, you know, last time I talked to you, you were pretty optimistic about this thing winding down. So I wonder what you think of the reality of the current situation.
Yes, they have not reached an agreement to extend and expand the truce. But this does not mean that they are now back to fighting for many reasons. First of all, now it's now 3 days then since they, I think 3 or 4 days since the truce expired without without being renewed, but no big fighting is there, and this is the good news. So the bad news is no expansion and no extension for the truce, but the good news is there is no fighting. There is no fighting inside Yemen. Of course, there's a little bit skirmishes here or there. This is as usual, but I mean there is no all-out or full-blown war already here in Yemen. Not in Taiz, not in Marib, not in Shabwa, not in any other province of Yemen. Also, there is no airstrikes. There is no Saudi airstrikes. Also, there is no Houthi missiles on Saudi Arabia. So this is good news, still good news on the ground, from the ground. And from a diplomatic level and a political level, the talks are still going on. Attempts are being made from all sides. I think UAE and Saudi Arabia are still committed to their positions to and their willingness to end this war. So I'm still optimistic, let me say. I would say I'm still optimistic because Saudis and Emiratis are willing to end this war. The only thing that I want to tell you now and your audience is that Houthi knows very well. Houthi knows very well that Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates want to end the war as soon as possible. And Houthi is exploiting this point. Houthi is exploiting this point to maximize his conditions and his benefits. And this is what he's doing. But I think from the indications I have seen and from what I'm hearing here and what I'm saying here on the ground, I think it's still very possible and very likely that this truce is going to be extended and expanded and the war is not going to resume. also because of the Saudi and United Arab Emirates' willingness to end it. And there is also one more thing that makes me that makes me say something like this, is which is the Houthi himself said many times to them that he would, of course, he would attack the interest, the Saudi interest and Emirati interest, the oil interest in particular. And now they understand, Saudis and Emiratis know that Houthi could do what he says. He could attack, he could send his missiles and his drones to Saudi Arabia and to United Arab Emirates. They know very well. And they don't want this to happen. They don't want to see this happen at all. So this is one thing. The other thing is that what they have been negotiating over the last 2 months is the points, is the following points. What are they? They are the salaries, number one, the salaries of the public servants, of the government, everyone. Not certain places, not Houthi places, not only Houthi places or the government places. Every single public servant should have their own salaries. So salaries is number one, and it is being discussed. The Sana'a Airport is also number two, with more destinations, not only to Cairo and Jordan, but to many other destinations, and also the boats, the sea boats, opening the sea boats for the aid, and also for the commercial ships. Also the roads inside Yemen, opening the roads inside Yemen like Taiz and all other provinces. So they discuss these four things: opening the roads, the flights from Sana'a airports, resumption of the flights of Sana'a airports to many places, to many destinations, and also the salaries. And the number four is the ships. So these four points are being discussed and still being discussed. And this is what the Secretary General of the UN said, and what also the UN envoy also said, that these points are still being discussed and they are still optimistic. And I think what United States also said in their statements, in their last statements, and what is happening in the Congress now, the movement in the Congress, and urging the Biden administration to end the U.S. involvement in this war, all these things would lead to at least expansion and extension of this truce. And the most important thing, why I am optimistic, why I am saying this, is that there is no war until now. So if there was going to be a war, it would be there already, but there is no war until now. This is why I am optimistic.
Yeah. All right. Well, so thank you so much for that, Nasser. There's so many things to talk about there, but I think the most important point to highlight there, when you go through the things that the Houthis are demanding now, you know, I guess adding to their demands, the list, as I took notes here, salaries for the public workers, reopen the airports and the seaports, reopen the roads inside the country, and allow commercial shipping, etc. So in other words, There's nothing here about, we want a free light water reactor and $100 billion and, you know, a bunch of whatever, anything, right? This is all very basic. In other words, lifting of wartime conditions is all this is asking for. It's not asking for anything extra at all. It's simply saying, let us, you know, get to a further state of normalcy before we give you any more guarantees. So not to take the Houthis side in the thing necessarily. It's either a good tactic or a bad one for the time. I'm not certain, but I would just wanted to emphasize there that even if they're being, you know, difficult in the negotiations at this point by bringing up a few more things, the things on the list are absolutely, you know, reasonable and belong on the table for discussion sooner than later anyway. So that seems like an important point. And then I wanted to ask you about something that you mentioned right there. Of course, anyway, you got to it, is this debate about the war powers resolutions in Congress in the United States right now. I wonder what effect you think that's having on the negotiations there, even though it's not even scheduled for a vote yet. It has more than 100 co-sponsors, I believe 116, last time I checked, 116 co-sponsors in the House, and the Democrats are getting it going in the Senate anyway. So can you elaborate a little bit more about that? Is there much discussion about, you know, on either or both sides about how, yeah, this matters? And if Congress is fed up, we're going to have to figure out a way to wrap this thing up?
Yeah, I think it's very important. What's happening in the United States for ending the war in Yemen is very important. First of all, this is because the United States is still having the influence and the leverage to end it as soon as possible, because we know what it means to say to Saudi Arabia that I'm not going to give you this. I'm not going to sell any more weapons. I'm not going to support this war. It's not good. But let me tell you why it's okay for the Congress and for anyone there in the United States to help. Because Houthi, as you said, Houthi is not now demanding more things that can't be met. The Houthi conditions and the Houthi demands are things that can be met, that can be met because it's some things that are very essential for the people, like the roads, the flights, the seaports, and also the salaries. So, but the reason why Houthi is still hesitating or not sure and not happy with them, with the Saudis and Emiratis, because they want, Saudis and Emiratis want kind of not war, not peace. The status of not war, not peace. This Floyd status is in the favor of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. In other words, what Saudi Arabia wants is, okay, Houthi, I want Houthi not to attack me with the missiles, with the drones. But if the war continues in Yemen, it's okay, no problem to me. This is what Saudi Arabia could say and would say, and also United Arab Emirates. So this is the thing that Houthi also knows, and he knows about them, that they want this kind of Floyd state of not war, not peace in Yemen. So this is why he's still threatening. He's threatening the oil companies entering Yemen. He's still threatening Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. Not because he doesn't want to end the war, but because he wants a real peace. And this is very clear, a real peace, a real government, a real coalition, and a real partnership. This is if this happens, or if there is efforts being exerted to make this happen, I think that truce would be also extended and expanded.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you guys, I quit Twitter again. Had to get the new book written. But I'm still lurking around a bit at my Reddit group page, r/Scott Horton Show, so you can still find me there. But there's a catch. The Reddit group is members only. Just donate $5 per month with PayPal, Patreon, or Subscribestar, and we'll see you there. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for Tennessee Hot Sauce Company. Man, this stuff is so good. They get all different flavors. Garlic habanero, honey habanero, pineapple habanero, poblano jalapeno, and the blood orange ghost. They're all so good, I swear. And for a limited time, Tennessee Hot Sauce Company is featuring official Scott Horton Hotter Than the Sun Thermonuclear Hot Sauce. It's full of Carolina Reapers, Scorpion Peppers, Dr. Pepper, hydrogen isotopes, and all kinds of things that'll burn your tongue clean off. Seriously, it's really good. Get yourself a hot sauce subscription. Spend $40 or more and use promo code SCOTT to get a free bottle of Hotter Than the Sun Hot Sauce. That's tnhotsauceco.com. Hey, y'all gotta check out these awesome busts of our hero, the great Ron Paul. They're made by the renowned sculptor Rick Casale. They're 13 inches tall, hand-painted bronze resin based on Casale's brilliant original. Y'all may have seen mine in the background on my bookshelf in some recent interviews. The thing is unbelievable. Check out this incredible piece of art at rickcasale.com/Ron Paul, and you'll see what I mean. Use promo code Horton and you'll save $25, and this show will get a little kickback too. That's rickcasale.com/Ron Paul. Casale is C-A-S-A-L-I. rickcasale.com/Ron Paul. And there's free shipping, too.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
And now, so if we kind of, imagine a year from now or more, do you think, assuming that foreign powers butt out and allow the different factions inside Yemen to negotiate, do you think that they'll be able to hold the country together and have a real coalition government? Or do you predict a split again between the North and the South, or even continued fighting between the Southern Transitional Council and Al-Qaeda down there in the South? There's a whole other question about switching sides back again. Maybe America will start backing the Houthis against Al-Qaeda again, or who knows what, right?
Exactly. Let me tell you about this point. It's a reality. I mean, the factions are there, and they are very, divided. They are not united at all. No good leadership, and also even Saudi Arabia and United Arab Emirates themselves have their own proxies. They have their own proxies. They have their own interests in Yemen. They have their own, they are different. As I've been always telling you in this show all along, the interests of Saudi Arabia are different from the interests of United Arab Emirates, and they are the big allies. They are the only ones in Yemen. Let me say, they are the only ones who are who want to divide the sphere of influence among them. So the unity, or the unity government and unity coalition, would be there only if there is a recognition of Houthi. Let me say, because now they are talking as if they don't want to give Houthi what he deserves, regardless of his right or wrong. I'm not saying this. I'm not talking about whether he deserves or not, but I'm saying now Houthi is a big power on the ground. He's a big force in the ground. in the north, and also in some of the south. So there should be a real efforts to recognize Houthi and to recognize all other factions, except of course Al Qaeda, because it's terrorist. But if they unite, if they focus on a unity government, I think they would reserve the unity of Yemen, and also there would be a coalition, and there would be a temporary government, and then there will be parliamentary elections and presidential elections, and then everyone would take what he deserves or what they deserve. But now to say this is good and this is bad, just according to the regional interest, whether Iran or Saudi Arabia or United Arab Emirates or United States or whatever, no, the Yemen should come first. The Yemenis should come first. The interest of Yemen should be first. And then if this is there, if this will is there, I think they will come to a solution. And I think also this is what is going to happen, because they don't want any war. They don't want the war anymore. This is the big thing that would make us optimistic. Also, the Houthi and Saudis are still making their bilateral negotiations outside all these things. And everybody knows this. They are still talking in Muscat, in Oman, and also they are talking with Iran. So I think the war is going to end because of all these developments, and because of the oil and the company, and because all the company, the oil companies, and because of the ambition of Mohammed bin Salman. Mohammed bin Salman has his huge projects, and he would not be happy if the war continues. He would not be able to continue his 2030, the so-called 2030 projects or 2030 vision. So I think Mohammed bin Salman and Mohammed bin Zayed would come to a solution with the Houthis and end this war in a way or another.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's really important, as you emphasize there, just even really the language that they use, the way that they construct the argument. I mean, here we're talking about the group that has seized the capital city at the end of 2014, now 8 years ago, almost. And the war that we're talking about here has completely failed in 8 years to dislodge them from power. They have a monopoly on force, as you say, in the north, the capital city, and other parts of the south. They call themselves the government. They are the government. Doesn't mean they're elected. Doesn't mean they're wonderful. Just means they are the government. And yet here we are 8 years into the war, and the Western side certainly still calls Hadi's old regime in exile the government, and the Houthis are still the rebels. And as you're telling me now, the major sticking point is whether they will even recognize the fact that the Houthis won the war, damn it. They are the government of the country. Let's at least agree that today is Friday as we move forward, right?
This is the point. This is the point. Whether we like it or not, this is the point. This is the point. Houthi is now 10 times bigger, 10 times more powerful than he was. And everybody knows, not only with weapons, but with everything. Now, you can see that. So tomorrow they have a huge, for example, a huge celebration of the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad. It's kind of showing how big I am and what can I do. And you know, so it's what they say is not logic. They should look to the facts on the ground, and see what Houthi is doing and what they are doing. They are doing nothing at all.
All right. Now, Let me ask you about the power of Al-Qaeda now, too. You've talked about how much the Houthis have grown during this war against them. Well, Al-Qaeda, as you covered for the New York Times back before they didn't want to hear from you anymore, in the earlier stage of the war when America was teamed up with the old dictator Saleh in order to attack Al-Qaeda, that only grew them more and more powerful, too, at the time. And yet, then we switched sides 7.5 years ago or so, 8 years ago, and now we've been fighting on the same side as Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula there. And I know that the UAE has essentially integrated them into what they call their Giants Brigade, their mercenary force on the ground there. But I wonder, how do you parse that in terms of, I mean, I think I even read one time, Nasser, where there was, I wish I remember where I read this, where they were sort of arguing that, like, in a way, this is how to pacify Al-Qaeda. Before, they were a bunch of suicide bomber kooks. Now we're sort of normalizing them into a less ideological militia and more just a mercenary force, something like that. Like, this is somehow taming them in a way, but it seems like it must just be building up their power and setting the stage for a horrible war to come still.
I think they are not taming them. They are not controlling them. I mean, Emiratis or Saudis. Let me say Emiratis now. They are in camps now. They are getting salaries, monthly salaries, by dollars every month. Now, not because they are becoming, or they are now moderate, or they are less extreme, or they are less fanatic. No, but because they are against Houthi only. But they are still Qaeda. They are still Qaeda, and they are against UAE and against Saudi Arabia and against USA and against the United States. But they, of course, they want the weapons. They want money. They get all these things, and they grow more and more. So Qaeda now is also rebranding itself, unfortunately. Very few people who are now, who refuse UAE and Saudi Arabia, I mean from Qaeda people, very few. But the majority of Qaeda people, whether the sympathizers or the real recruits or the real operatives, they are now taking the money and the weapons of UAE, and they call themselves giants, brigades, or whatever they call, but they are Qaeda, unfortunately, and they can't be, civil people easily, or they can't be normal people easily. So, except if there is a strong government that can integrate the normal people or the reasonable people into the government or into the military or into whatever. Okay, but now we don't have government at all. So they are the government, the people who are ruling in the south are those people who were Qaeda, and now they call themselves whatever names, different names. So it's again, we come back to the strong government, and the strong government would only come if there is an international and regional will to help Yemenis to form this government, and yeah, and to prioritize the Yemeni interest, to make the Yemeni interest first, not to focus on Saudi and United Arab Emirates and United States first and then Yemen second. No.
Right.
This is not right.
Right. And by the way, I'm sorry, we don't have time to discuss this now, but it's in the book, everybody, about how they were working on a deal to build a coalition government at the time that America and Saudi started bombing them in 2015. The whole thing is just such an outrage. But I'm sorry, in the last 2 minutes here. I'm sorry, we're so short on time. But can you please talk about the humanitarian situation there and whether the ceasefire and the increase of trade and all that has done anything or how much it may have done to alleviate the starvation and suffering of the Yemeni people here, the civilian population of the country?
The humanitarian situation is much, much better than it was. Than it was 6 months ago. Than it was before the truce. This is a reality. This is a truth. And we can't deny it at all. Nobody can deny it. But it's a relative thing. When I am saying it's better, I'm not saying it's okay. But let me tell you what's happening in the... For example, now the fuel, you can go in any gas station and you can fill your car in any place. This is a good thing. You can take whatever commercial things from wherever. It's coming always, and sometimes they delay. Sometimes, but it's okay. It's much better. It's I think 10 times better. This is according to the assessment of UN. So it's okay, but the woes of the war are still there. The wounds of the war are still there, and they are very deep. And we need a lot of time to recompense and to rebuild and to help people to recover. So we need a lot of things. A lot of things. It's not enough to say, okay, now it's the commercial and the air thing. The commercial ships and the aid ships are coming in. It's okay. The flights, very few flights from Sana'a airports are operating, and it's okay. No, we Yemen needs to come to normal, to recover, to rebuild itself. But now we are not we are not back to normal. We are not normal yet, because there are a lot of problems there. Because Saudis and Emirates, unfortunately, are still weaponizing the humanitarian situation, the humanitarian aid, the humanitarian and the commercial ships and all these things. So this needs to stop. This needs to stop right now.
All right, listen. Thank you so much for coming back on the show, and everyone, you already know, but I'll remind you, and you can do this over and over again. Get your family and friends, go to 833stopwar.com. There's bullet points and talking points for you there, and just call 833-STOP-WAR. It'll connect you directly to your senators and then to your congressman to let them know. And go to your congressman's website, your senator's websites. They have offices all over your state and in D.C. Brief all of their staff as much as you can. Write letters, send emails. We have active war powers resolutions in both houses of Congress right now. There's in 20 years of war, when have we had this opportunity, the people, to force the Congress, to force the president, to force the Saudis to end this war? We can do it, but we need everybody's help. And that's it. We're all out of time. But thank you so much, Nasser, again, for coming on the show. I really appreciate you.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you very much for having me. And thank you very much for helping us. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
The Scott Horton Show, Anti-War Radio, can be heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA, APSradio.com, antiwar.com, scotthorton.org, and libertarianinstitute.org.